Heavenly Father, as we come to look at your word, to reflect on what you have to say to us this morning, Lord, open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. Amen. Well, as Tom mentioned last week, as we work through our vision statement, which is there on the screen, we've deliberately moved things around a little bit so we can focus on one particular aspect of our vision statement this week that ties in so very well with the theme of remembrance. We're working through the last part of our vision statement, the bit that says we do this. How do we achieve our vision as a church? Well, we do it by meeting, praying, worshipping, learning, serving, and reaching out with the gospel, united by our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When I was preparing for this talk this morning, I was thinking about remembrance, and I had a look on the website of the Royal British Legion. And that is what... This is what the British Legion says today is about. Today we honour the service and sacrifice of our armed forces community, the British and Commonwealth veterans, the allies that fought alongside us, and the civilian servicemen and women involved in the two world wars and in later conflicts. We remember and honour the service and sacrifice of our armed forces and so on. But also all the many civilians who contributed to protecting the freedoms that we enjoy. And what we're going to look at this morning is what serving means for us, not in conflict, not in war, but as members of a church. And in the fine Anglican tradition of the three-point sermon, I have five. Because what I want to look at this morning is who we serve, where we serve, how, when, and why. But before we do, let's have a quick look at the nature of our service. 46% of the armed forces in the World War I, and actually the vast majority of the armed forces in World War II, were conscripts. People who, by law, by government decree, had to go and fight for their country. Our service is different. We are not compelled by law or duty to serve God in the way many were called to serve their country in the two world wars. We have a choice. In fact, a key principle of Christian faith is that we come to God of our own free will, a free will which he has given us. However, rather like these two conscripts in World War I, the skinny young man and the slightly tubby middle-aged man, God's army is a many and varied one. I want to look very briefly at a passage that Bob didn't read to us this morning, and that's Matthew 25. If you have a Bible near you, please feel free to join me in turning to it. In Matthew 25, verse 34, Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives. He is speaking to his disciples, and what he's doing is he's describing all the nations gathered before God. And God is separating the righteous on his right from the unrighteous. And in verse 34, he says to the righteous sitting on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You see, we're all called to serve everyone who needs our help. That means we're all called to help each other. We're all called to help those we live with, those we work with, those we worship with, those we know and those we don't know. And by serving others, we also serve the Lord. And where do we serve? Well, wherever. We serve wherever God calls us to be. We serve God wherever we find ourselves. Serving God, as one writer said, is a 24/7 proposition, not a Sunday-only enterprise. And that leads us to when we serve. We serve God wherever we are, all the time. Not only on Sundays, and certainly not when we hope someone's watching. But that brings us on to how. We've thought about who, and where, and when. But what about how? And how really is the biggest part of this talk this morning. The Bible, surprisingly, is remarkably silent on the subject of rotas. It's also remarkably silent on the subject of tea and coffee after the service. It doesn't say much about children's ministry, nor does it mention PCC meetings. And I'm sorry, my love, it doesn't mention church wardens either. Nor does it mention church maintenance or all the other stuff of church life. I particularly like the boiler hammer on that picture, if you can see it, not to mention the lectern polisher. However, the Bible does tell us this in the passage, one of the two passages that Bob read to us this morning. It tells us in verse 6 of Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your gift, with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. And in verse 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. In other words, we are called to serve according to the gifts that God has given us. We're called to share with those in need, and we're called to be hospitable. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, I don't know what my gifts are. Or, I don't have any gifts. I can't sing. I can't cook. I'm certainly no good at the front. But it's really clear from what the Bible has to say to us that every member of every church should be serving in some way. And it's more than just serving others. Because in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul writes, serve one another humbly in love. So it's not about just about service. It's also about loving one another. Service can take many forms. Exercising our gifts can take many forms. It could be babysitting so young parents can join a fellowship group. It could be taking a meal round to somebody who is ill. It could involve visiting an elderly person or phoning someone who you noticed didn't happen to be at church this morning. From evangelism to cleaning the toilets, there's always plenty of work to be done. And one good way of finding out what your gifts are, if you're not sure, is by serving and discovering what we're good at and having a heart for and what we have a heart for. or by asking the vicar or the church warden what needs to be done. And that brings me on to another aspect of how we serve, and that's the attitude with which we serve. In the same passage from Romans in verse 3, Paul writes, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." And in verse 8, he says, "If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Well, that's all about the attitude we bring to our service. Paul makes it clear that our attitude is just as important as what we do. In the words of that classic song, "It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it." And the reason for that is spelt out in verse 4, which I've highlighted in pink there on the screen. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts. We may not all have the same role, but we are all, as a church, united and interlinked and interdependent as the body of Christ." So let's take a moment to reflect. What is our attitude to our services? Slightly cheekily, I'm going to ask, do any of these images that I'm going to put on the screen illustrate my approach, your approach, our approach to serving? Can anyone detect the smell of burning martyr? Do our actions scream, "Look at me"? Or are we completely selfless? Let's turn to the story of Mary and Martha that Bob read to us earlier on. It's really annoying, isn't it, when there's so much to do and the person who should be helping is just, well, not. I have a great deal of sympathy with Martha, and I bet I'm not the only one in the room who does. But there's a warning in this story, and the warning is about priorities. The time and energy that we devote to serving others and to serving God should never get in the way of spending time with Him. And I confess that it all too often does. There's Mary sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to everything he has to say, while Martha's slaving away in the kitchen. How dare she? How dare she leave Martha to it? Well, actually, as Jesus says in this story, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We should never allow our service, the work that we do for each other and for God, to get in the way of the time we spend at the feet of our Lord. Back in Romans 12, in verse 9, Paul also says, "Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves." If we're going to take this passage seriously, we should also be looking after each other. Honour one another above yourselves. We should be placing each other's needs above our own and making sure the load within the church family is shared, ensuring our fellow church members have the time and the space to do what Mary did, to spend with their Lord. You see, part of serving in the church family is summed up here in this lovely picture and the verse beneath it from Galatians. "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." So we've thought about what attitude, but another aspect of how is in what strength do we serve? Romans 12 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Joshua 22 says, serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, that's all very well, but when you're tired, overstretched, lacking in confidence, run down, fed up, how do you do the whole heart and soul thing? You don't have to look very far in the Bible to find passages about the strength God gives to each of us, if only we ask. But this one from Isaiah 40 is wonderful. He gives the strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint. He who we serve will enable us to serve. He will give us everything we need if only we spend time with him and ask. So, why is serving such an important part of what we do as a church? Is it to earn thanks or recognition? Well, no. Is it to earn our place in heaven? Well, certainly not. That has already been secured through God's grace and our faith in Jesus Christ. Serving is an important part of what we do because we serve a servant king. A servant king who set us a true example of serving that is humble, loving, and sacrificial. A love that knows no limits. So, on the day when we remember the sacrificial service given by so many in times of war and conflict, we think also about the ultimate act of love and self-sacrifice by the man who was and is God. In Romans 12, Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. To serve the Lord is not only to follow his example, it's also to give him the worship that he's due. That's a section on the screen from a very familiar prayer to many of us that normally sits after communion. And I'm going to use that as part of the prayer with which I'm going to end this morning's talk. So let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for sending your Son Jesus to teach us how to live, to show us how to serve, and through his sacrificial love, enable us to know you. Father, thank you that as a church family, even though we all have different roles and gifts, we are all equal and united as the body of Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.